Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook podcast, your source for practical teaching ideas using technology, creativity, and student engagement. Listen, learn, and plan your lessons for class tomorrow. Now here are your hosts, Matt Miller and Carly Mora.
It is finally December, and if you're in the United States or the Northern Hemisphere like we are, then it usually means that the weather is starting to turn. We're getting closer to winter break. I don't know about you, but for me here in Indiana, the weather has not totally changed. It's still sort of warm, but we're starting to see that turn towards the holidays. Carly, are you seeing it kind of all over the place where you live?
Oh, definitely. The lights are up, and it's chilly and cold. Well, about as cold here as it gets in California. And it's I can feel it. I see it's okay to blast my holiday tunes out of my car now. I don't have to turn it down and roll up the windows like I did before Thanksgiving. So definitely Holiday season over here.
Yeah. For me too. I had a 6-hour drive home from Cleveland yesterday, and I can neither confirm nor deny that a large amount of my drive was dedicated to holiday music. But, I know in our schools, that means that we're getting down to the end of the semester. And so we've got some resources to share with you, especially for this week. This week is a special week, and we're going to touch on that a little bit more. But we've got some really good resources to share with you on the Ditch That Textbook podcast.
News and updates.
So to kick off our news and updates for this week, Carly, we're seeing that Magic School, magicschool.ai, has some new teacher tools, and you've got your eye on that SEL lesson generator, right?
Yeah, I subscribed to their newsletter, and I saw that they have a new SEL, which is social emotional learning lesson generator. And so that's a big focus all around here, and I'm sure around your schools as well, Matt, is just making sure our kids feel that they can share their emotions and be able to meet all of their needs, and meeting their social emotional needs is really important as well. So, but sometimes we're stuck and we're not exactly sure how to bring in those SEL lessons into our classroom. And so Magic School has this great SEL lesson generator where you can pick your grade level, the SEL competency, and then your topic and standard objective, and then any additional criteria you might want to be what they suggest is maybe specifically bullying online, and then generate a lesson plan. And it generates a lesson plan with key points, opening, and then everything you'd expect in a regular lesson plan. So I think that's a really amazing new update for Magic School.
Yeah, I agree. I love that they've got some of those SEL competencies already plugged in. So, they've got self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, and responsible decision making. All you have to do is just pick one of those on the drop down menu, and it's going to create a lesson for you, which is super cool. And then I also did notice out in Magic School that they do have a couple of other newer Magic tools, including the Real World Connections tool and the Standards Unpacker tool. So I do love that they're continuing to add more and more of those tools inside of Magic School. So that's definitely a really cool one. I wanted to share a quick bit of news and updates related to the Ditch Summit. So this is our free online conference for teachers that we put on every year in December and the beginning of January. And it's coming up. The Ditch Summit opens on December 11th, which is going to be, I believe, next Monday, if you're listening to this within the week that we release it. And so it's really coming up. We have a fun contest going on right now. So if you want to get involved in it, you can just go to ditchsummit.com and register, and it's going to send you an email with a special link. And if you share that special link with someone and they sign up for the Ditch Summit, you get what's called a referral. And the more people that you refer to the Ditch Summit, the more you can climb up our prize giveaways. So if you get 5 referrals, you get a little sticker pack. We're going to send you some stickers. If you get 10 referrals, you get a free enrollment to any of our online courses. 20 referrals get you a t-shirt or a tote bag, and then 40 referrals get you a hoodie. So we've got all of these fun prizes that you can win just for telling other people about the Ditch Summit. So again, if you want to get involved in it, you can just go to ditchsummit.com and register, and it's going to send you everything that you need to participate in that.
The big idea.
So we alluded to our big idea for this week a little bit at the top of the show, talking about how this week is a special one. It's one that in schools, a lot of us have been celebrating, so to speak, or letting it guide our instruction in class a little bit. And it happens to be Computer Science Education Week. And Carly, there are all sorts of cool activities that we can bring into just about any class to help sort of commemorate this week, right?
Yeah, Computer Science Education Week is a great way to kind of focus in on, the Hour of Code and computer science, but it really fits into any class that you teach. And code.org and a lot of different organizations have some great resources for you in order to do that.
Yeah, in fact, Carly has written a great post that we've got on the Ditch That Textbook blog talking about 20 ways to celebrate the Hour of Code in your class. And so she's broken it down really nicely by grade level and different types of activities and everything. And of course, there are some really good websites and apps and everything that introduce your students to coding and computer science. But one of the things that impresses me about it is that there are lots of no-tech options where students can learn about coding and computational thinking and a lot of those things that go into computer science, just to kind of give them that firm foundation. And Carly, you've actually tried some of those in your own classes before, right?
Yeah, so I was a computer science teacher for pre-K through fifth grade. So with our pre-K kids, we're definitely using no tech options, but then also even the older kids making mini computers, or one of my favorite activities is to program the teacher, where you use just verbal commands to program your teacher to move around. And they all love doing that because they thought it was really funny to run me into a wall or something like that. But these kinds of options are great for your classes to get started with computer science, but also to expand on the lessons that you're doing. And I think it's what's really fun about a lot of these lessons is that you don't need to know anything about computer science. I think a lot of times teachers will be scared to bring in these computer science lessons or these coding lessons because they might not know anything about coding or computer science. But the great thing about all of these lessons is that you don't need to know anything yourself. So you can just get started, give it to your kids, and then learn with them. And I think that's, I didn't know anything about computer science when I first started kind of dabbling in these lessons. And I learned with my students, and it was fun for all of us. And these, all of these resources are made for you to help you get started. And so we have tons in this post and a lot of options for you for any class that you teach.
Yeah, one of the coolest things that I think we've got available for you here is that Carly has created some explore boards that you can use with your students. So these are documents that you can share with your students, and they have all of these links to all of these different activities that students can do related to creativity with artificial intelligence, related to NASA and all of those. Carly, do you want to tell them just a little bit about what to expect if they want to use those with their students?
Yeah, so these explore boards, this year, code.org, their big theme is creativity with AI. And then there's also a big collaboration with NASA. So there's two different explore boards here. The first one is we've got this NASA Space Jam explore board where your students can explore the different ideas about sonification, which I didn't know much about before, but you can learn with them, watch some videos. And do some coding activities all about sonification. And you can make a copy of this explore board and you can change it around if you'd like, or use it as is, which I love. I love when you can get something, download it, and then send it straight to your students. But there's different options here, and they can explore this whole idea about NASA Space Jam. And then there's tutorials to walk them through this coding lesson, this programming lesson, where they actually program the solar system in with music, which is really cool. So that is NASA Space Jam. And then the creativity with AI, learning about AI as teachers is fantastic, but we want to bring AI to our students. So their big theme this year is creativity with AI. So the creativity with AI Hour of Code Explore Board has some, again, videos for your students to watch about how chatbots work, about creativity and imagination. Does AI have it? And then there's a link to the Applied Digital Skills lesson from Google about discovering AI in daily life. And then a bunch of different coding lessons that your students can jump into right away, all about AI. So those are the two different explore boards we have, and you can download them in Google Docs or in Microsoft Word.
Yeah. Another thing that's kind of cool that's going on this week too is that Microsoft Flip, formerly Flipgrid, is hosting this kind of like a virtual guest speaker, and it's someone from NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. He's a robotics technologist, and so he's going to talk about his journey of dreaming of working at NASA while he was living in Iran, all the way to, you know, working and, you know, what his job is, and talking about NASA's Artemis missions, and then also the Minecraft team is going to get on and talk. It should be a really, really fun thing. It's totally for free. And so if you go to the show notes at ditch.link/podcast, there's links to everything that we've been talking about. So if you've heard anything that sort of piqued your interest, you can go to the show notes there. And one of the things that I really love about this whole idea of Computer Science Education Week is that sometimes it really does give students an opportunity to have kind of like a one-on-one discovery of computer science. I was seeing some statistics that the Hour of Code put out that 90% of parents want their child to study computer science, but only 53% of high schools offer it. And then it also mentioned that women who try AP computer science in high school are 10 times more likely to major in it. And then Black and Latinx students are 7 times more likely to major in it if they've done AP computer science. But even if you've got younger students too, you know, just giving them some exposure to it maybe encourages them to participate in it. So it's just a little thing. It might also be a nice change of pace as you're getting down to the end of the semester. So Carly, I'm as excited about. I know it's a big, you know, coding and computer science has been a big part of your teacher life and everything. It hasn't as much for me, but I'm still excited about it too. So I don't know about you, but I think this is definitely something people ought to consider.
Yeah, it's really fun. And like you mentioned, it's a great opportunity to show your kids what computer science is, because it kind of is this idea that they don't really understand, but we don't necessarily think our kids are going to grow up and be computer programmers, but the CS Ed Week and the Hour of Code shows them that they could. This is something that they can do, and this is an opportunity for them. And you might have some kids that all of a sudden see coding as something they want to do, and then that's the career path that they're going to take. Not all of them will do that, but you might spark the interest in one, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to get any of these activities, get links to any of them, you can find them in our show notes at ditch.link/podcast.
Tech tips.
So to kick off our tech tips for today, I wanted to share with you a way to generate artificial intelligence images that can be really fun. And if you're like me, it's probably something that you're going to want to jump off and go try out right away. So we found this post on Twitter shared by Becky Keen, and she's been sort of playing with Microsoft's Designer Image Creator. You know, there are all of these AI image generator tools. And so she was working with this particular one. And it's interesting because whenever people start dabbling in AI image generators, sometimes they don't know what to ask the AI image generator. And it can be kind of intimidating a little bit if you don't know the kinds of things that you should ask. So what Becky did was she pre-wrote a prompt for you. And it's almost like a fill-in-the-blank prompt. And what it's going to do is it's going to generate sort of like a picture of you, an AI picture of you, kind of like a cartoonish avatar of yourself. But all you have to do is just fill in the blanks. And it's going to generate something that meets that prompt. Now, if you're like me, you'll fill in the blanks to this thing and it'll generate pictures and you'll look at those first three pictures it gives you and you'll go, no, that doesn't look like me. Maybe you'll have better luck with it than I do. But my first one, I told it that I was bald and I had glasses. And, you know, some of the examples it gave me had a, you know, thick head of hair that I wish that I had, or it gave me like a gray beard or something. And I'm like, no, that's not right. So then I adjusted the prompt a little bit and tried it again, until eventually I finally got one that actually looks like me that I'm pretty happy with. Carly, you tried this out too. What was your experience with it?
Oh, I had so much fun doing this. It was a blast. I saw this, we saw this tweet from Becky, and I tried it out right away. And then I tried putting my hair in a ponytail and it didn't do it correctly. So again, I had to adjust the prompt, but it was so fun to think about what I wanted it to do. But a lot of times when I get to these image generators and I see, like you were mentioning, this blank screen, I don't know what to ask. So this, I was able to, you know, do some prompt engineering, but I had kind of a stepping stone to do it. So it was so fun. I probably spent way too much time making these images of myself. But like you mentioned, it's just a fun way to get started doing some AI image generation ourselves.
Yeah. So if you want to try this fill in the blank prompt that Becky created that you can use, you can just head to our show notes at ditch.link/podcast to try it out yourself.
For my tech tip, I wanted to share another resource for teaching computer science during Computer Science Education Week, or really any time during the year. And if your students are anything like the ones I work with, then they get pretty jazzed about working with robots or other types of hands-on computing, talking about robots like Dash and Dot, or BeeBots, or MicroBits, or Makey Makey, or Ozabots. And those are the types of robots that I use a lot with my students, and you may have access to them. You may have access to a few of them. You may be able to borrow them. You may even be writing a Donor's Choose grant to get them, but most of us don't have access to these types of materials daily, or even anytime during the year. So what you might not know is that there's actually online versions of a lot of these robots, like BeeBots and Ozabots, and even devices like MicroBits. So it's the robot itself, but it's an online version. So you can program it to do things that you would do if you had the physical robot, but it's online. And the great thing about these online versions is that they're free and your students can access them through the website. So these online versions are a great way to introduce programming with robots or hands-on computing to your students, and they can be used instead of physical robots if you don't have any, or in conjunction with the physical versions if you have limited supply. So if you only have, say, 5 in the classroom and you want them to, you have a few kids working with them and then the other kids are working with the online version. So maybe you set up stations or something like that. But you can use them also as a resource to preview how to use the materials when you do get access to them. So if you, let's say you have some kind of lending library in your district, which I've seen a lot of amazing districts do this, or you have a Donor's Choose grant and your resources are going to be coming, but you don't have them yet. So you can use these online versions to preview what the physical version will look like and what it will do, so that when your students get them, they don't have any, they'll still have questions, of course, but they'll really see what they're like before they ever get the physical version. And actually, anytime I do a unit on Microbits, I actually have my students program the virtual version on MakeCode, on the MakeCode website, before I even start using the physical version. And it cuts down on a lot of confusion and chaos when we start using the Microbits. And of course, we'll link all of these online version sites along with what the resources actually are. So you can take a look at what a BBot looks like, what an OzaBot looks like, what a Microbit looks like, so that you can see if it's something you might want to look for using in your classroom. So you can find those in the show notes, which you can find at ditch.link/podcast.
Quick teaching strategies.
So Carly, for your quick teaching strategy, I think this is pretty cool. This would be a fun way for us to be able to kick off a class, I would think. A fun little like icebreaker or a bell ringer type activity. Why don't you tell everybody about it? This is pretty cool.
So this is kind of going along the same lines with Computer Science Education Week, but you can do this anytime. And it is to use binary code to write your students a message on the board. So you would use the binary translator to write words and ones and zeros, just like computers do, and leave it on your board for your students to translate when they come in. So they're going to decode this message. So we have for you a link to the binary translator and then a binary code translator key. So you'd give your students the key, and so they know what the ones and zeros mean, how they translate to letters. And then you'll write the message on the board, and then your students can come in and decode it. Binary takes, it's tedious because it's eight ones and zeros when you're writing it. So you want to do a short message, but this kind of decoding secret message idea is always fun. Our students love to decode things. So, and again, you can kick off Computer Science Education Week this way, or your class every day, and talk about that this is how computers speak to each other, or this is how a computer works, is in through ones and zeros.
Yeah, I love that. That's super cool. My quick teaching strategy for the day has to do with using an AI assistant like ChatGPT. And one of my favorite things to ask it is for common misconceptions that students might have about your content. I know a lot of times we teach things that are going to be tricky for students to understand. And especially if we've taught it for a little while, we get a little bit of a picture of what students are going to struggle with. But it's also interesting to ask those things to an AI assistant every once in a while, just to see what it has identified through its training on its data set, what it thinks the answer to that is going to be. Like, what are going to be those common misconceptions? And sometimes we throw something like that into the AI assistant and we get misconceptions that we might not have expected. And so that's an easy way for us to put ourselves in the shoes of the students and see what they might be struggling with so that we can proactively help them to be able to work through that. So if you've never considered doing this before, you go to one of those AI assistants and say, hey, I'm going to be teaching this in class tomorrow. What are some things that my students might struggle with? Or what are some misconceptions that they might have? And you might get something that's really helpful out of it.
Template of the week.
So here we are in December, which probably means that you're getting down to the end of your semester. And I've always found that the end of the semester is always a good time to reflect, you know, to think back on the way that the semester has gone. Students can reflect on the things that they've learned, that the progress that they've made, and how far that they've come. And if you're looking for an activity for them to be able to do this, to kind of guide their reflection a little bit, we've got a template on our Ditch That Textbook template library called the Learning Awards template. And here's how this one works. You give this template to students, and it's got three big boxes. And with each one of those boxes, it has a picture of a medal above it, a first place medal, a second place medal, and a third place medal. And so what students do here is they start to think through some of the things that they've learned, some of the things that they've done, some of the progress that they've made. And then they're just ranking it. Like, what's most important to them, what's second most important to them, what's third most important to them. And all they do is they just kind of use the prompt in the text box, and they just write out what they have learned, you know, what they've worked themselves through, and why they're proud of it. So it's real simple idea, but it's a template that you can make a copy of, assign out to your students on their learning management system, and it prompts them to be able to reflect on how that first semester has gone. And I don't know about you, but I kind of think that you know, reflection is an important thing, and it's definitely something that's easy for us to kind of look over and forget when we get into our day-to-day lives of teaching.
Definitely. We tend to forget to have our students reflect, and we tend to forget to reflect on our own teaching. So it's while your students are doing this, you could be doing this yourself, thinking about the semester and what you as a teacher are most proud of and your successes as well. And of course, this is like all of our templates. You can download it, give it to your kids, and start using it with your students right away. And so it's a great end of the semester tool.
Yeah. So if you want to get that particular one, you can get a direct link to it in our show notes at ditch.link/podcast, or you could go browse our entire Ditch That Textbook templates library with dozens and dozens and dozens of free templates that you can make a copy of. You can go to ditchthattextbook.com/templates to go check that out. So that wraps up another episode of the Ditch That Textbook podcast. And Carly, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty interested to see how people are using some of these computer science resources in their classroom during this week, during this computer science education week.
I can't wait to see what people do with it. And if you do and you want to share it on social media, we'd love if you'd tag Ditch That Textbook. You could do hashtag ditchbook, and we'll see it. And tag either one of us. We'll put our Twitter handles in the show notes, but we would love to see what you do with your students and how they use these resources, because it's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're making the stretch run here to the end of the semester, we are pulling for you. We hope that you have a great last few weeks of class with your students. And we're always looking for ways to be able to support you in that work. So if you haven't had a chance to subscribe to the Ditch That Textbook newsletter, you can always go to ditchthattextbook.com/join to get that, to get more of those ideas in your inbox on a regular basis. So for Carly Mora, I'm Matt Miller. This is the Ditch That Textbook podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. Get new teaching ideas in your inbox by subscribing to our email newsletter at ditch.link/join. Show notes for this episode are available at ditch.link/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss any episodes. And while you're there, please consider rating and reviewing the show. Thanks for listening, Textbook Ditchers, and we'll catch you on the next episode.